Good afternoon and welcome to everyone. Special welcome to the people that are able to use the webcast. In the video that we saw last week, we saw a few of the many things that one can learn as an attendee at ABC. Some of our young people have already attended. Some in our congregation Ambassador College graduate. While you weren't necessarily expected to come out as a minister, especially if you're a woman, there are certain things that it was hoped that you would take with you when you graduated. One thing, it was assumed, expected that you'd go back into your local church area and make a difference. And, of course, a positive difference. Aaron Dean mentioned during the graduation ceremony last week that graduates are committed to serve in the congregation they return to. ABC is not just about learning what the Bible says. It's about application of that knowledge. Besides having a knowledge of the Bible, there are certain things it's hoped that a graduate would do. Serving in the local church and exemplifying God's way is a given. Ambassador, college or Bible center, was supposed to rub off on the people. The hope was and is that each congregation would have individuals that could model appropriate behavior standards for the rest of us. In other words, they were to be role models. Someone whose example we can follow and know that it will lead us eventually to the kingdom of God. No pressure there, is it? Let's begin by turning to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, which would actually be the last verse of chapter 10. Here the Apostle Paul emphasized the importance of role models when he tells us, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Paul is telling us that the highest standard possible is the example of Christ, and saying that as he was following Christ, it was safe to follow him. In verses 23 and 24 of chapter 10, Paul begins to point out his willingness to restrict his own freedom for the good of others. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each other. But each one the other's well-being." Skipping down to verses 31 to 33. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God." Paul had several goals. First, he was trying to do everything to the glory of God, as he says in verse 31. Second, like Christ, he was willing to restrict his own freedom and not do things for his own pleasure in order to help others. And finally, he wants to avoid offending anyone by his behavior if their understanding is not at the point where it should ultimately be. Because he was willing to do all these things, Paul could tell us to imitate him. He was serving as a role model for people in the church by following the example of Christ. As he modeled Christ's own actions in his own life, people would be able to see how Christianity was to be put into action. That's the kind of role model that each of us should be. The ultimate role model for us, of course, is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that he was perfect in every way. He did the right thing all the time, even when he suffered for it. You know that he was loving and compassionate. He healed the blind and the deaf and the leper. He healed hundreds of individuals. This was more than was needed just to prove that he was the Son of God, or that the Pharisees were being hypocritical when they claimed that healing on the Sabbath was wrong. He healed because he cared about the individual. He lived in a corrupt society that avoided its influence, but he avoided its influence while living under its rules, as long as those rules didn't conflict with obeying God's laws. For example, the Roman occupiers imposed taxes and harsh requirements on their subjects, such as making an individual carry a Roman soldier's equipment for a mile. Well, we know what Jesus said. He didn't say, put up a fuss, protest, or whine about it. Matthew 5:42, he said to go ahead and carry the burden 2 miles. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, and see where Peter also confirmed that submission to the government is what a Christian does. 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Notice why in verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Just as Paul said that he would not use his liberty if it would hurt others. In other words, we're to obey the laws of the land, many of which have been set up for the good of all. The only time we are not to obey them is when they conflict with what God tells us to do. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, Peter reminds us, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. The primary way that Jesus said people would know that they were following in his steps is if we have love for each other. Are we showing people how to treat one another and how to have compassion for one another? Compassion can include something as little as being a better listener or as big as exercising patience. We may also experience suffering when we're told to do right, but we too have to always do the right thing. So are you a role model? Well, that's a trick question, of course. We're all role models. Question is, are we good ones? Are we having a positive impact on the lives of other people, of what they see us doing, how they see us living? Can someone learn from us how to live a balanced life, or to do things decently and in order? We serve as an example of time management, again, as a good example. How about as an example of someone who knows how to manage all the stress in their lives? How about managing our money? Will our children learn from us and be able to know how to properly tithe and make offerings? Can we demonstrate how to be dependable? Can someone count on us no matter what? their personal conduct blameless and above reproach. And others safely follow our example. Just as God expected ancient Israel to be an example to the nations around them, we too are to be an example to anyone who learns that we call ourselves Christians. If our behavior is less than perfect, or our lives chaotic and troubled, people will doubt that our religion is very helpful. On the other hand, if they see that our lives are peaceful and we're not fearful in a day and age where many are getting concerned about what is happening, then they will look to our example. Someday we'll be helping people change their beliefs, actions, attitudes, anything else that conflicts with the way God wants and expects them to live. The question is, how are we going to do that if we're not living that way ourselves now? You know, a lot of things that God expects us to do and not do. The problem is we don't always follow His instructions. We forget that we should be living as if the world tomorrow were already here. Why don't we do that? Maybe it's because it isn't always convenient or easy to do the right thing when everyone else is going the other way. We aren't going the right way now. What makes us think that God will let us in His kingdom? Even though it isn't easy, right now we need to be exemplifying God's way in every single part of our lives. When we're in our cars, no road rage. When we're at school, no disrespect for teachers. We're at work, giving 100%. In our neighborhoods, keeping our yards neat. At home, taking care of our belongings and treating each other with love. And here at church, encouraging and supporting each other. In other words, everything that we do to be done the way Christ Himself would do it if He were here in human form. Of course, the way He's here in human form in and through us. We should not embarrass Him by forgetting that. People are going to learn from us in the future. We need to make sure that we're good examples for them. Remember, we don't get to start living the right way in the world tomorrow. Judgment is on us now. Sometimes I think we forget that just knowing the truth doesn't guarantee that we will enter into the kingdom. We have to prove ourselves to be worthy to be there. Much as ancient Israel didn't want to be different, we have to battle this weakness in ourselves that makes us want to be just like everybody else. Too often we want to blend in with those around us. But if we want to blend in so much that there's little difference between us and our neighbors, it could cost us protection and a place of safety, possibly even our eternal lives. We want to blend in that much. Back to my original question, are you a role model? If, for example, you think that you aren't a role model for your children, guess again. Somebody emailed me something some time ago. I'll read a portion of it. It's called, "When You Thought I Wasn't Looking." It's written by a child. "Thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat, and I learned that it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal to take to a friend who was sick, And I learned that we have to take care of each other. You thought I wasn't looking. I saw you give your time and money and learned that those who have something to give to those that don't. Our children are very impressionable and very vulnerable. They will copy what's going on around them. That's why we need to make sure that we are modeling only the right things, not any wrong things. By our actions, our words, our moods, our body language, anything and everything, we are teaching our children and grandchildren important lessons. Lessons on how to treat others, how to react to or receive correction, how to consider others' feelings, even if you don't agree with them, how to put others first, how to sacrifice or not, how to serve or not. There's no way to escape it. We are living lessons. Much as we might like to think we can't make a difference in the world now, we're wrong. Unless you never leave your home, never interact with another person, you have the potential to influence others. You truly can't get out of bed without becoming a role model. We snap at our spouse or children until we've had that first cup of coffee, or any time, actually. Do we speak politely to each other? The language that we use when we talk to those close to us is a message in itself. Or do we have a smile and a kind word for everyone, no matter how we are feeling? Granted, even if these may seem like minor things, it's little things that we do that can lay the foundation for all of the things that we do. Let's look at some of the things that God expects us to be modeling on a day-to-day basis. We begin in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Said that we should look at what God expects of us. This surely is not what he expects. Let's look at the last half of verse 5, where we are warned. And from such people turn away. However, if we go back and look at these verses, we can actually see the kinds of people God wants us to be simply by turning them around. I don't have time to pick out every word. Just a few ideas. Going over these scriptures and figuring out what we should be like instead of those descriptions, something that we all can do on our own. Let's look at verse 2 to start. We're not to be lovers of ourselves, and that means that we are to be lovers of others. How do we do on this? Turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, starting in verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was that? One that was willing to give his life for all mankind. Continuing to look at how we can love others, if we're not to be lovers of ourselves, what about following the instructions in Romans 12? Be kindly affected. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We also can follow the admonition in Matthew 19:19, the second part, where we're told to love your neighbor as yourself. Do we do that? Or if we've got that conquered, how do we do with Matthew 5:44? Loving our enemies. Another thing we can see in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, is that we are not to love money. We are not to be greedy. We're not to put our trust in money. We are to share what we have. We're to be generous givers. We're not to withhold our tithes and offerings. We all know that we're warned in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21, we are not to lay up treasures for ourselves on earth, but in heaven. Matthew 6, starting in 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We're familiar with Mark 10, verse 24. After the young man had been advised to sell all that he had and give it to the poor, so that he would have treasure in heaven, we read in the second half, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? Continuing with what we should be doing, if we are not to boast, then we're to be humble. That means we're to give other people credit. We're to give God the glory. We read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. Paul was quoting this from Jeremiah 9. He repeated it again in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17, reminding us that we have nothing to boast about. Moving on to 2 Timothy 3, verse 3. If we're not to be proud, we're to remember that no man is good. We have no power on our own. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, as Romans 12, verse 3. We're not to be without self-control, and we are to have self-control. We are to guard our mouths from saying things that are not appropriate for a child of God to be saying. Need to learn to control our tongue. We may need to learn to put brakes on eating or drinking. I've read that 70% of what we spend in this nation on health care is due to overindulgence in one form or another. Continuing at verse 3, if we're not to be brutal, we are to be kind. That includes how we speak to one another, especially to our children. If we're not to be despisers of good, we're to seek the good, as Philippians 4, verse 8 reminds us, as well as seeking to do good. For example, we are to distribute to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality, as Romans 12:13 tells us. Micah 6, verse 8, the prophet was inspired to write, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God." Yes, true Christianity is not complicated. It's not particularly easy. Although Christ said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," swimming upstream isn't as easy as turning around and swimming downstream. Let's continue in 2 Timothy, still looking at what we should be doing. Verse 4. "We're not to be headstrong or stubborn. We're to be teachable and malleable, willing to accept changes, make changes in our lives when we receive correction. We're not to be haughty. We're not to be self-important or puffed up or wise in our own conceits." That's from Romans 12:16. Mentioned that Romans 12 is an excellent section to read on how to behave as a Christian. If we're not to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, we have to put God first in our lives rather than our own will. We're to get our own priorities straight. And in verse 5, we're not to have just a form of godliness without denying it, while denying its power. You are to be a Christian to our core, not just an appearance. We are not to be hypocrites, wanting people to think we are committed to God and His way when we're really not. We're not to mock God by pretending to believe Him, trying to have others think that we are a true Christian, and we really don't acknowledge God's power over our lives. This last verse is key and are searched on how to be a role model. A matter of form versus substance. Ideally, we should both look like a Christian in our dress and grooming. We also should be reflecting our Heavenly Father through in all our actions, all our words, in all our thoughts. Imagine if few of us signed on for the job of a role model. Many of us may have just wanted to save our skin when we first responded to God's call. It may have been pretty much all about us at first. Weren't paying all that much attention to the details about walking a new walk, putting off the old man, or anything that meant that we were going to have to make significant changes. To me, one of the signs that this is God's church, that we're willing to sit here and listen to things that we know we don't want to do, but understand that we do have to do them. You know, if we hope to make it into the kingdom of God, we obviously do, we wouldn't be here. If we want to be in the kingdom of God, we've got to have to change and grow and become whole new creations, whether we think we can or not. No, we can't do it all now. We certainly can't do it all by ourselves. What we'll be hearing about tomorrow, the tool that God gives us to make the changes that we need to make. Probably going to be the toughest fight of our lives at a time when perhaps most of us are tired and worn down by the society around us. We need to be influenced by the world around us so much for that we can't recognize why specific music, movies, TV shows, games, language, name it, why these things are wrong. We You may want to be a perfect role model all the time, but we know it's not going to happen while we're still human. You do wake up cranky after a bad night's sleep. You do say things that to other people that we wish we could recall. And we do act very unchristian sometimes when hopefully we didn't mean to. One type of role model that Christ does not want us to be is that of a hypocrite. He doesn't want us to go around acting as if we love our enemies, or acting as if we're generous, or acting as if we're humble and kind. Recognize the religious hypocrisy of the day, and what did he say about it? Let's look at Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verses 2 to 3, he points out, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not do. Came to the instructions from the Word of God itself, they were to be obeyed. But the behaviors that they themselves exhibited were not to be copied. And verse 4, they bind heavy burdens grievous to be borne. The point was that they make rules and regulations that were going to be a burden, especially regarding the Sabbath. They considered themselves exempt from those rules. A number of other instances in verses 13 to 15, 23, 25, and 27 typically calls them hypocrites, play actors. You know, they were trying to impress people with their show of fasting and their sanctimonious prayers and attention getting tithe paying. Well, Christ wasn't buying any of that in them. He wouldn't buy any of it in us either. He wants us to be his brothers from the heart. He wants us to do what we do because we're trying to follow him, not because we want to be seen by others. It's ironic that weak as we are, we want others to think highly of us. Wouldn't we much rather have God's and Christ's good opinion of us than any man? What about our example? We can be tremendous assets to others by showing them that we have the strength of character to make the right choices. He noted the importance of being a good role model when he told us in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Christianity, we're attempting not only to model the way Christ himself would live, but to influence others to join us on the way into the kingdom. This requires something from us, accountability. God will hold us accountable for representing him accurately. We need to make sure that we're truly acting as a Christian should, not just the way we feel like acting. Anytime we should be doing what we think a Christian should act. If we go by our own personal opinions, we find that would have a different opinion from others in the room on how to handle just about everything. We're talking about a doctrine of God. You better be all on the same page. The only way that can happen is we're taking our lead from Christ. Do we keep the Sabbath? Of course. Do we keep the Sabbath? Of course. Do we keep the holy days? Of course. he honors father and mother. Yes, both his heavenly father and his earthly parents. Did he love his enemies? Yes, enough to die for them. If we're close to God, we should want to change everything, every detail in our lives, to be more like our Creator. We must individually grow in proper judgment, continually expanding our understanding of God's laws to make sure that we are modeling them correctly. Others look at us and see just how the Sabbath should be kept, or the holy days. Fortunately, we can have our own ideas rather than going along with the decisions that have been made by those that God has put in charge. For example, we may not be able to find any written commandments for how many services we're supposed to have on a holy day, or for giving an offering on each of the seven holy days, or even giving a tithe of a tithe. These are administrative decisions that have been made by those that God has allowed to be in charge, given the authority to make those decisions. Can't imagine any of us standing before God someday and telling him that, well, I didn't think I needed to do any of those things. Talk about suddenly realizing how weak our argument is, how puny we are. That would be a time we'd start asking ourselves, what was I thinking? That's a good question to ask ourselves now. Not everything that I do differently from what the church as a whole teaches us to do. There's an article in an old issue of the Good News titled, Are You Blameless in Your Conduct? I'll read a couple paragraphs. God has called us to be living proofs of the way his life is the finest, that his way of life is the very finest available to man. We have the fabulous opportunity of influencing people through the power of our example. People are to see through you the living proof that God's way is the best way to live. What a responsibility. People are going to be watching you. Your words and your actions are going to be the mirrors by which God's truth is reflected to others. They will judge God's way of life by your example. Here is our real job. Live so close to God that our lives give no occasion for reproach to be brought on God's church. What a responsibility is right. God called Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Intended them to be a role model nation for the surrounding Gentile nations. These nations were to learn God's laws by seeing the practical benefits of obedience. The problem was that Israel consistently failed to measure up to that. Nations didn't learn righteousness from Israel because Israel was too busy learning wickedness from them. Instead of overcoming the world, Israel was overcome by it. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 6. Notice what we are to learn from their example. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. Verse 11 sums it up. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. Have we learned from their example? Have we come out of the world and its ways? If we hadn't, how can we show anyone, including our children, how to live? Have we learned to stay with the teaching God has given us and the place He has gathered us? We do make a difference every day. Things we model every day are endless. Someone learned from us how to handle their emotions, their anger. Anger is a particular item today, since that's something we're seeing around us all the time. Proverbs 16:32, we're told, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. How are we doing at modeling patience, faith, or endurance? If we've been in the church 40 or 50 years, others ought to be able to take a look at us and see our commitment, our examples, to help them in their race. Obviously, I haven't covered anywhere near all the things we need to make sure we're modeling properly for our children, for newly called members in the church, or for the world around us. That's because everything we do, every day of our lives, we need to be aware of what we're doing. We need to keep in mind how it might appear to someone else. We need to make sure that we live as spotless a life as we can for the sake of others who will see us. Not by play acting, but by becoming a child of God through and through. Like it or not, we are role models. I'll put another way, we are the light of the world. We cannot afford to be unconcerned about our conduct. People are going to be watching us. The major question for us is whether we are a good example or a bad example. With God's help, we can be the best example.